So. It's often said that the first step of the path of the Lambre is to understand our perfect human rebirth, sometimes called precious human rebirth. Okay? The idea of putting it there is for us to, with a clear mind, recognize that we have the qualities, we have the freedoms, and we have the leisure to walk this path. That we recognize our latent potential in our human, in our Buddha nature. That we have all the qualities necessary. We need to become really aware of this. Make it front and centre. We sometimes are quite happy pointing out the good qualities of others, but we don't look at ourselves, or very rarely. And when we do, what we come up is usually putting ourselves down more than recognising our qualities. To walk this path, you really need energy. You really need the mind that says, look, I have a precious human rebirth because these are my qualities that I have. These are my freedoms, these are my leisures. It's possible for me to do this. I've been born at a time and a place, and I have experiences. Even though a lot of it may be negative, still, I can do this. I now have everything. This is precious. It's not that all human life is precious, isn't precious, of course it is. But the life we have now is absolutely perfect for achieving enlightenment, and we need to know that. Why does it have to come front and centre? Because mostly front and centre is putting ourselves down. I can't do this. I've had a hard life. I've got these problems. You should meet my husband. My children are driving me wild. You don't know what it's like with the job I have. Poor me. Poor me. Lama used to call it the poor me idea. That has got to be looked at from a very, very realistic point of view. This poor me, this proneness to depression, I'm not talking about clinical depression here. I'm talking about depression that comes from the poor me attitude. That's got to go. You cannot walk this path with that attitude. If you try, you'll be clouded by depression, clouded by low self-esteem, which seems to be, you know, quite prevalent in the West. I mean, I know I say this quite a bit, but when the Lamas first came to the West, they couldn't understand it. When students said to them, yes, but I hate myself. And they were shocked. Never occurred to them that anyone could hate themselves. Yes, I mean, if they're, you know, mentally deranged, okay. But otherwise. And this is the one attitude that holds us back. It holds us back from trying. It holds us back from achieving. And it's got to go. It's got to go. This idea that the world is unfair, that people are unfair to us. Because we know we're perfect, we know that. It's the others, isn't it? If only they hadn't done this to me or that to me. If they could just recognise my wonderful qualities, life would be so much easier. Yes? No. It's not like that. This idea of unfairness, this idea of poor me, it will stop you doing anything. It just is so corrosive. And the reason it's corrosive is because it's so addictive. One moment of poor me tends to lead to the next moment of poor me. And misery loves company. So you'll find your friends are also kind of miserable and understand your misery, because you know you've every right to be miserable. Look what's happened to you. It is corrosive. It's addictive. And we see this poor me, the depression, everything that's happened here is almost concrete, solid, unchanging. And unless we get rid of that, or at least begin to get rid of that, then you'll have no energy to walk the path. Just not possible. So that's what we're looking at here. When we have this frustration, when we have this poor me and this depression, then we turn to friends who tend to think along similar lines to us, and you kind of, misery loves company again. Or you turn to family, and they'll be very sympathetic, but in the end, they have their own frustrations. Or you find someone that seems to have the answer, you know? And you invest all your faith in this person because they've got the answer. And then being human, of course, they'll fall at some stage. And when they fall, you fall. No good. This is no good. We need to understand that we have everything that we need to walk this path. But there's things we have to abandon. And we have to abandon the poor me, the depression. That has to be abandoned. Now, we have to do the groundwork to actually get rid of this underlying habit. That's really important. And understanding the nature of mind is helpful. See, because you can have positive minds, negative mind, and neutral minds. I mean, from a psychological point of view, this is the type of mind you have, the state you're in. And because you have all the freedoms and endowments you need, you can choose to stand on the side of the good qualities. Look at the negative qualities and see them for what they are. Impermanent, changeable, and could be get rid of. And you make a decision standing on the positive qualities, looking, not judging it. No, not like that. With kindness. Thinking, now I'm going to work to get rid of these because they're getting riddable. Well, they can be got rid of, no problem. So understanding the preciousness of this life means all of that. Now, from a Lamrim point of view, from a Tibetan point of view, because they have no problem with beginningless mind, really, no problem with many, many lifetimes, reincarnation, this type of thing. When they look at freedoms and endowments, they're very specific. Lucky that you're not born, you're free from being born in a hell realm. To them, that's very, ooh, you know. So what we're going to do now is a meditation here. And I'm going to go through the points that is in the Lamrim about the freedoms and enjoyments. The problem comes if we don't have an understanding of reincarnation, if we don't have an understanding of the different realms of existence, it can be tricky. However, when we finish that, we're going to look at the qualities and endowments we have now, in this lifetime. And we're going to add that and see where we get to. So this is, it's not to depress us, it's to give us energy. It's not to beat ourselves, No. Just looking at it, it's not reasonable. These are not reasonable. This poor mind is not reasonable. You have everything you need here and now to do it. So, let's watch our posture. And I'm taking these points from the extended Lamrim outcomes. There's a whole pile of books here on the extended Lamrim outcome, which have been gifted to us by Keith. All these meditations on the Lamrim are in there. I highly recommend you have a read of them and use them. I'm going to use part of it now. But remember, this is coming from a wide mind. This is coming from a mind that has no trouble with beginningless and endless, no trouble with reincarnation. Okay? No trouble with the different levels of existence. So, turning the mind inward, breathing evenly and gently. And if you have disbelief about the different realms of existence, for the benefits of this exercise, just try and kind of suspend that for a moment. Just suspend it for a moment. You can buy into it later if you feel like it, but just suspend it. One of the freedoms is the freedom from not being born in a hell realm. Different types of hell realms, ruled by extreme suffering, no chance to practice Dharma, no chance to hear Dharma, no chance to have Dharma friends. Simply continuous, unmitigated suffering. We don't have that. We have freedom from that. And if you have some understanding of hell realms, you can bring that into your meditation. If you don't, just think of it as a place of extreme suffering with no time for anything else but to suffer. We have the freedom of being born or not being born as a hungry ghost, a type of wandering spirit, has difficulty even finding food, lots of suffering, lots of greed. There are spirits, and a group of them are called hungry ghosts. It's a realm of existence. If you had been born in that realm, no time for Dharma. No time for practice. You have the freedom of not being born in an animal realm. And however much we love animals, really that's no life. How can you really develop your Buddha nature as an animal? Constantly hungry, constantly going after food, constantly going after reproduction, at the beck and call of higher animals who will hunt you and kill you and eat you. Humans that will dominate you, make you work. And if you think of the dog, well-groomed, lying by an open fire, thinking that may be okay. No, it isn't. It is dull. The mind of this dog is dull. In relation to Dharma, very dull. And their circumstances can change for the worse, no problem. To be born as an animal is no freedom at all. But we have escaped that. We now of a human birth. We have choices. And although some of us have strong instincts, we don't have to go with our instincts. We don't have to go with our habits. We have intelligence and we can choose. We have freedom of not being born as a god, any type of god. And unless you know what the god realm is like, you'd think, sounds okay. But the life is so full of pleasure. There's no time to practice Dharma. There's no need. If you have no suffering, why would you practice Dharma? To practice Dharma, you need a little bit of discontentment. We should value discontentment. There is no discontentment in the God realms. No impetus to practice Dharma. Only to waste your good karma in enjoyment. And it will end. And you'll have wasted all your good karma and have nothing to show for it. No Dharma understanding. There have been times in this world where a Buddha has not appeared. Even the word Buddha or Dharma never existed. There have been times like that, but we're free from that. We've been born at a time where a Buddha has appeared. That is so fortunate. There are places just in this world where there are no Dharma. The word Dharma does not exist. There are places in the world that if you followed anything but the country's religion, you will be killed. Many countries where there is no Dharma. But you are fortunate. You're free from that. You've been born at a time and in a place where the true Dharma exists. It would be hard to follow Dharma if you had heavily defective senses. Heavily defective. It'd be very hard to practice Dharma. And although we all have problems and difficulties, we can use our senses well. So this is a huge freedom. And there are many people in this world who hold wrong views. Wrong views in relation to how to run a country, to persecute people, to kill animals or humans for whatever reason. People who hold views very strongly that there is only this one life. Nothing else. And if you're questioning that, then you've been born free from holding on to these wrong views. Being born as a human is rare, but you have it. And no one gave you this human life. You earned this human life through your past actions. You've been born at the centre of a religious country, a country that allows religious freedom, where there's teachings of the Dharma, widespread, widespread. You've been born with a reasonably well-functioning mind and body. So many people haven't, but you have. And then not having committed the five heinous crimes, killing your mother, killing your father, drawing the blood of a Buddha or an Arhat, or causing schism in a Sangha community. That has very specific meaning. You have freedom from that. These are heavy, heavy on the mind, very hard with that on the mind to walk this path. But you have freedom from that. Having faith in the Dharma, or some faith in the Dharma, what a gift. So many people wouldn't even bother exploring this, let alone having faith, having trust. Being born in a period where other people are practicing the Dharma, other people who are walking this path with you, who can help you. You're not isolated from the Dharma. From the concept of beginningless mind and reincarnation, all of these freedoms and endowments, we have them. And right here and right now, in this body and this life, what qualities do you have? Really highlight them. What leisures do you have? What type of endowments do you have in this life that could add to the list? What fortunate qualities do you have? Highlight them. Don't judge them, highlight them. I can walk this path because I fill in the gaps. If you're getting caught up with problems that you have, consider that most problems are quite trivial, really. Can be dealt with. But we tend to inflate problems. We tend to project onto them our own concepts. And it is our habit to get caught up with problems and inflate them, and seeing them as supreme and not what they are, difficulties which can be dealt with. Understanding that we have a perfect human rebirth is a strong antidote to any depression, hopelessness, or self-created pity. It encourages us to rejoice in our good fortune. It encourages to identify our unique potential and can give us a strong enthusiasm for this life. Having a perfect human rebirth increases your compassion for others. It increases your concern. spend some time now reflecting on some of these points that come home to you. But try to highlight the qualities that you have right now that will help you walk this path. And when they're clear in your mind, focus. Again, we already have all that we need for genuine happiness within our mind stream. Our Buddha nature is a potential waiting to be developed. With this human rebirth, we can access this potential by understanding and expanding and experiencing the mind as it is. Applying discriminating wisdom to all our actions. We can deconstruct our negativities and we can reconstruct with wisdom. This is how fortunate we are. Having a precious human rebirth means that we have all the qualities and the freedoms necessary to make the journey. We need to recognize them, identify with them, and recognize how extremely fortunate we are. Reflect on this, and if you can, allow a kind of positive energy to arise, this energy for the journey. And when that's as strong as you can make it, focus. Imagine sitting in front of you in exactly the same position as you're in. A friend. If you could, what would you give to this person in order to make their ordinary human life precious and perfect? If you could, not taking anything away from yourself, but what would you offer them that would make their human life perfect? Think about the mundane and the supramundane. And imagine you have the power to do this. What would you offer them? Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's something environmental, social, mental. What gifts, if you could, would you offer this person? Thank you. Now in pairs, I'd like you to say to each other, I offer you, and say what you'd offer, and briefly why. What are you doing? You're offering something that will elevate an ordinary human life, okay, to a perfect human rebirth. And you have the power to do it. You can give anything, environmental, social, anything. So say to the person you're with, I offer you because. And then let the other person offer and see where you go with that. Okay? You have to work for your money here. Absolutely. Yeah, just you all thought you were coming on holiday for the rest, right? Okay. So, fine. So, I'll check you after 10 minutes. So, not all human beings. All human beings are precious. All sentient beings are precious. But not all sentient beings have a perfect human rebirth. This is clear. If you could offer them something that would make that a perfect human rebirth, what would you offer? You liked that, didn't you? I could see people go, oh. Tell me, what would you offer?
Well, I offered an open heart and an open mind.
Open heart, open mind. Okay, so when something's open, do you mean not shackled by preconceptions?
Yes.
Or so a willingness, a mind that's willing to learn?
Mm.
Okay. And a heart that's...
Well, that's when you have compassion.
So compassion. Okay. So if you had the gift, you would allow that to happen.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Sounded good to me.
Yeah. What else?
I said the time and inclination to practice.
Time, if you could, you would allow people the time and the willing, the inclination to practice.
Yeah, because it drives everything.
It does.
Because it could all be there, but you could just not be bothered.
And some people are just not spiritual seekers. Yeah. And it happens to them anyway. It's an awful shock. No, but if you have that, if you could offer that, would that be worth having?
Definitely.
What else would you offer?
The courage and the wisdom to observe the wild elephant mind in all of its ramifications and work through the challenges.
Yes.
The spiritual path.
Yes.
And good health.
Yes.
To do it.
Yes. See it as a challenge. And a challenge you can overcome. And good health, you can't beat it. You cannot be good health. Good health is wonderful. Because when you have bad health, what do you tend to focus on? The bad health. Difficult to focus on the mind when you've got bad health. So offering that, wonderful. What else would you offer?
I had love, compassion and holding.
And?
Holding.
Holding.
Holding. Holding. It was like from me to them, holding of them.
In a support, like supportive?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Mm. That sounds good. Mm. What else would you offer? Remember, you're elevating precious human, an ordinary human life. They might be quite happy, by the way. These people, we're not imagining these people are miserable. Ignorance, they say, is bliss. They might be quite happy. But how are you going to change that? How are you, what are you going to offer to make it perfect?
Oh, I offered like an eternal supply of retreat.
An eternal supply of retreat.
Yeah, to be honest, like,
okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. Until enlightenment.
Until enlightenment. Yeah. So places to practice dharma, really.
Yeah.
Places to practice dharma. Places to develop your mind. Retreat surroundings. Companions that they don't think you're completely mad.
Yeah.
You know, that's helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like-minded people, companions, people walking the path with you. Wonderful offer.
Yeah.
What else?
Teachers to guide.
Yes. Yes. Good teachers. And discriminating wisdom to know what is a good teacher.
Yeah.
Not just because they wear funny clothes and they've got no hair. Or they've got a nice smile. That's what I get from people. Oh, I think he's got a nice smile. Really? You base it on that. So, having good teachers and having the discriminating wisdom to recognise the qualities and not be confused by the nice smile. Yes? That's wisdom. What else would you offer? No right and wrong answer to this.
Well, a couple of things you said that I said plenty of time in nature.
Plenty of time
in nature.
Because?
Just because it's find it restorative.
Yes. A lot of people who don't have a perfect human rebirth spend a lot of time in nature. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there'd have to be a good reason for it.
Yeah, just be, well, a person who I was imagining, I know benefits from time, doesn't get that time in nature and benefits from it. That's,
okay.
That's why I offered it.
Okay. That sounds okay. That's fine as well. What's the purpose of this exercise? It's to open our own minds, really. At the moment, we can't give any of this. We can't even help people do this. But the potential to do this is very, very strong within us, within this Buddha nature, this bodhicitta motivation. We can be able to do this. But mostly what it's about is recognising this. Somewhere along our lifetimes, we have given ourselves this gift. We're sitting here with open minds. We're sitting here with compassionate hearts. I can see it. We're sitting here with people who've got access to retreats, who have got access to like-minded people practicing, who may have problems with their body, etc., but really they're still mobile. Do you know what I mean? They're still being able to do this. Who can go out into nature and use it as a restorative. And although we all think we're time poor, right? We latch on to these things. I am time poor. If I hear that again. But you've got time to be here. How many people in the world don't have this? Somewhere along our timelines, due to our positive karma, we have given these gifts to ourselves, which is why we're here and now. It's amazing. It's amazing we've done this. What a waste if we don't make full use of it. What a waste. But right here and right now. From a Dharma perspective, we've won the lottery. Really? These people that apply, go on television with these huge checks for millions. You've done that. You're better than that. You've actually got better than that. You've won the Dharma lottery. This is how we have to think. For this moment in time, I have a precious human rebirth. These are the qualities. No one gave this to me. I gave it to myself through my past actions. What am I going to do with it now? Am I going to waste it? Or am I going to take pure advantage? Am I going to let myself get depressed over things that have happened or will happen? Or am I going to take the optimistic view of this precious human rebirth that I've given myself? No one else gave it to you. Up to us what we do with it now.
So you have to give it to yourself. I mean, if you're offering it to someone else, say if you're doing... I can remember last year we did the Four Immeasurables.
And oh, yes.
We offered, at that point when we were envisaging a certain person, we offered them
yes.
what we felt they might benefit from.
Yes.
Does that actually have an effect somewhere along the line, that they might receive such a thing? Mm-hmm. Or, like,
there's
prayer,
an
you know?
Yeah, there is an... we're going to go into that a bit later, but there is an interdependence there,
mm.
certainly. There is an interdependence. Very hard unless you've reached a quite a high level of achievement for physically, mentally, to be able to do that.
Mm.
But the potential to do it is there.
So it's just at that level, it's more the aspiration to
yes.
be able to get to that.
Well,
point.
it's more than an aspiration. It's knowing that in the future you can do this if you walk this path. It's a bit of bringing the future when you will be able to do it into the present, when kind of it's a bit tricky, in practicing now.
Mm.
Bit of that.
Mm.
But there's a real interdependence going on. But this thing about giving it to ourselves, is recognizing karma. It's recognizing beginningless mind. It's recognizing reincarnation. It's recognizing continuity of mind. What we have now, everything we are, our body, speech and mind is due to past actions. Everything. So if we're in the position of having a reasonable body, reasonable senses, good friends, good teachers, good companions, places where you can study and do a retreat, enough time to be able to do this, support a family, enough money. I mean, this is important. If you're very poor, you won't be thinking about anything else. All of this you have. Okay, we all want more, but that's the human condition. But you have enough to do this. And you have enough, not because of outside things, but because of what you've done. It's recognising that. That's what this exercise is about. It's recognising that. It's a kind of, wow, I've won the lottery. There's very little I can't achieve. And certainly, realising this Buddha nature, more than possible, we have the qualities. Now, if you start the path on that note, then, good. Then you have the energy.
Yes, it's just a question on Buddha nature.
On?
Buddha nature.
Oh.
So when we're meditating, it popped up, we've been talking about developing Buddha nature. But isn't Buddha nature already there and we're just developing a connection to it?
Okay, so...
Just me developing,
so all
changing what's...
Yes, yeah. So all schools believe in Buddha nature, right? That there's no thing yet. And all sentient beings have it. This is well known, it's no problem. From an insect to a human, it's not. Buddha nature of the hell realms, beings in the hell realms, hungry ghosts, gods, they all have Buddha nature. Now, what that Buddha nature actually is and how to describe it can be different in different schools. So it's tricky this, but some schools see it as you're already a Buddha, more or less, you just don't know it, right? And the reason you don't know it is because of all these obscurations. Now, if you're a Buddha already and you don't know it and you have all these obscurations, then it makes sense that what you do is less and less, and you let go, and you let go, and you let go of these obscurations, and then this fully deformed Buddhahood comes to the front because it's already there. From the Galupa school, in particular, the way they view it, Buddha nature, no problem. But they see it as a potential. A potential. If you didn't have the potential, you couldn't have it. But it's a potential. Now, if something is a potential, then it's no good revealing just the potential. It begs you to develop it, isn't it? If you've got potential for music, for instance, you need it developed. And this is what, from the Galupa point of view, your Buddha nature is. It's a potential. It's there. But it's a potential waiting to be developed. And you couldn't develop it if there wasn't already a potential for compassion. So the compassion's there. You couldn't develop wisdom if the potential for wisdom was not there. So the wisdom's there. So depending which school, there's a slight difference on how you actually actualize your Buddha nature. There is a difference. But Buddha nature, absolutely the same. Taking you to enlightenment, absolutely the same. Just slightly different emphasis. Okay. Time for food. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I shall see you at 7 o'clock. When we shall be exploring my favourite topic, the 8 worldly dharmas. So just a bit of a spoiler alert there. Thank you. Enjoy.